All right. Well, let's turn to Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. This past week, I was meditating upon this psalm and just thinking about some of the aspects that God points out to us here about himself. Psalm 139, probably a familiar psalm to you and at least parts of it, but certainly a psalm that is showing us a lot about God and about his care for us. And so the title of the message today is, He Knows Me. He knows me. When I first wrote the title down, I wrote, He knows my name. But you know what? That seems rather even shallow because he knows far more than just my name. And you know, I know lots of people's names, such as, for example, Donald J. Trump, right? I know his name. I know a lot about him, but I don't really know him. And we're not just a name or a number to God. Of the 7.7 billion people, I Googled it to see where the Earth's population is at, and it's as of August, I believe it was 7.7 billion. By of course a little bit of estimate of the world population. You know what? God knows me. God knows me. Let's read the first six verses here of Psalm 139, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Lord, we ask for your blessing and your help as we consider how much you know about us and how much you care about us. Lord, I pray that you'd draw us closer. Help us to thirst for revival, for you to have more of us, for us to be closer yet to you. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask these things, Lord, for your name's sake, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. He knows me. The psalmist David here writes about how the Lord knows him. And he says to the Lord, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. David recognized that God had given his attention, that God cared enough about David to know him, to take a look at him. You know, in the multitude of people on planet Earth, even in David's day, and even far more in our day, God is not too busy to care about you and me. I want you to notice, first of all, which is down a little bit in the passage, David makes note that God made him, first of all. God is the creator of us. In verse 13, let's go down there. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. Would you read now in verse 14 those familiar words? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow. Who is our creator? It's not some, you know, science experiment and chemicals that combine that just, you know, almost magically created us. God is our creator. He has made each person special. Each person is designed in his image. God is intrinsically involved in my creation. In my mother's womb, he even mentions, thou hast covered me. He possessed my reins. In other words, he's in control. Verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a creator who designed, who fashioned us, all of our parts. God made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, not yet completed, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God is intimately engaged in even the creation of our very being. We're not an accident. We're not, you know, God isn't up in heaven thinking, boy, these people keep having children, you know. Not at all. God is involved. God is hands-on in the creation of every person who comes into the world. Every person is special. Every person is loved by God. And every life has a special purpose. Every life has a special purpose for the glory of God. He made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to notice also not only that as God knows me, of course, he is my creator, he made me, but secondly, he knows everything about me. Here in verse 1, it talks here about how he has searched me, he's examined me carefully, right, and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God certainly knows our name. He knows our name. But far more than that, he knows when we got up this morning. When we rolled out of bed, God was aware. They got up. God was aware. He's just pointing out the basics of life, the everyday things. God knows exactly where we are. He knows what we're thinking. It says here, he understands my thought afar off. God knows what's going on in our life. He knows and understands our thoughts. That's comforting as well as perhaps troubling. God, there's not a thing that is hidden from God. And notice verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And so David points out here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that God knows every detail of our life, every function of our life. When we lie down, when we get up, the thoughts we think, the path we walk down. God says he compasses our path. In other words, we can't go anywhere, but God is there. God is with us, and he is around us. And certainly as a child of God, he is in us. But we can see here the engagement that God has with me. You know, we can talk about this collectively of how God knows us. But you know what? The fact of the matter is God knows me because I'm different from you. In some ways I'm similar, but in many different. God knows me. God knows my challenges. God knows my burdens. God knows them before I even tell him about them. No one has to inform God of what's going on in my life. God sees. God knows. Notice the personal nature. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched. Okay? He is personally searching. Verse 2, thou knowest, thou understandest, thou compassest my path and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not, verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows every word in our mouth, every word we have spoken, every word we will speak. God knows it through and through. He is intricately involved in my daily life. And as we continue to notice, as the psalmist goes on, he says in verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now David was a believer. He had trusted the Lord as his Savior. He had engaged, he had entered into that personal and close relationship with God. And God cares about his children. God doesn't lose any of his children. He doesn't, he's not like, oh, now, you know, I lost track of so-and-so, you know, amid the millions of children I have. God has not lost track. It says in verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. We can see that this is awesome. David acknowledges this, that, wow, this blows my mind in verse 6. He says, this is such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend this. It's high. It's unfathomable that God, the creator of the universe, the one who put the stars in space, knows what I did today. And he knows what I'm doing right now. He's not only aware of it, he's engaged in my life. He cares about me. He's not just going to, you know, hear about it from one of the angels tonight at the evening briefing. He knows. His infinite knowledge, his wisdom, his ability to be everywhere, to be present in his creation. Presence around his children and his spirit within us. It is awesome, and David acknowledges this. And he says in verse 7 to point out and following, to point out, you know, how can I even get away from you, Lord? You are just absolutely everywhere. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, he uses these extremes. If I was to be able to go to hell, even thou art there. Now I recognize that in judgment, one of the awful things of the judgment of God is to be banished from the presence of God. But the reality is that God sees, God knows. And in contrast here, David is making the example that he can go to heaven or he can go to hell, and thou art there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And so there's nowhere to get away from God. Even if we were to, in such a sad situation, to end our life, go to hell, as it were, which is not obviously, just he brought it up here. God is there. We're going to answer to God. There's so many things, right? And so the fact of the matter is, it's a wonderful thing to be known by God. God knows us. God loves us. He made me. He knows everything about me. He knows all the thoughts I think. He knows the words I say. And yet, he loves me. You mean he knows me that well, and still he loves me? Verse 17. how precious also are thy thoughts. So God doesn't just know our thoughts, but he's having thoughts about us. Not just generally about his children, but specifically about us. That's what the Bible is indicating here. David, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God has precious thoughts unto me. This is personal. This isn't, a mass body of God's people. Certainly God has a desire for his people. He has a plan for, his people and for us to be godly, for us to be holy, for us to be obedient, for us to live with him forever. Yes, but God has precious thoughts for me because I'm unique. God has a purpose for my life. And his thoughts that he thinks about me are precious. And David accounts here how great is the sum of them. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. We can add up all of the times that God has been thinking precious thoughts about us. All of the times, David says, if we were to add them up and be working on adding all those thoughts together to get a final figure, he says it would be like the sand of the sea. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You can't fall asleep and God moves from you. We don't accidentally get off course and God left us in the dust. No, he cares for us. He thinks about me. In fact, he thinks a lot about me. Now we know from other scriptures, we know that... Well, let's turn to a couple of passages. First of all, in the New Testament, Ephesians 4, to consider some of the thoughts that God has about us sometimes. And this is sad thoughts. Ephesians 4, let's notice verse 29 and verse 30. Ephesians 4, God is telling us here to be careful of the words we use, and it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And of course we understand that God knows every word we say, even in a whisper or in quiet. He even knows our thoughts. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not. You see, by corrupt words or corrupt thoughts or wicked actions, many ways that we can grieve God. It hurts God. It brings him great sorrow for his children when they are disobedient, when they are living sinfully. It brings great sorrow to God's heart. And so God instructs us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. But I want you to also go to the book of Zephaniah. It's in my Bible, it's just 10 pages back from Matthew. So real close to Matthew. Zephaniah, not Zechariah, Zephaniah. I think it's just three chapters. And we're going to look at the third chapter of Zephaniah. Please notice verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Just think about that. That's quite a statement already. The Lord thy God. We see the personal likeness here. He's our God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. He's close. He's not far. He's near. He's with us. And he's mighty. He's strong. We're not talking about just, you know, a weak companion, as someone who can not do anything for us, or someone who, you know, wishes they could do more but can't. No, we have a God who's very personal, and he's with us, and he's strong. Verse 17 in the next part, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. It's God's desire to save us. It's God's desire to deliver us. We know that certainly it's God's desire that everyone would come to know the Lord Jesus. That's his plan. That's his desire, his will. He's not willing that any should perish. His will is that all men would come to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But notice what it says here. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Here's some of the precious thoughts God has. Not only thoughts of what he wants for our life, but joy in his children. Joy in those who have embraced his son. He rejoices over us with singing. He loves us, even when we're unlovely. Even though he knows us so intimately, so intricately, and yet he joys over his children with singing. Precious thoughts. Psalm 139 called them. Precious also are thy thoughts unto me. God really does love me. Please go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 31 will begin. Romans 8. And of course, these are wonderful truths for the believer, for the one who's opened their heart